Well, grace and peace to you all from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, believe it or not, we're nearing the end of the year. Well, the calendar year is still over 100 days from turning over. But the church calendar, the seasons of Advent and Lent and Easter and Pentecost and all of those, only has 9 Sundays left before we start it all over again. And here at Bethlehem, our year of planning and giving and spending only lasts until the end of this month, about 12 more days. Fiscal years have always confused me. But someone smarter than I decided that the calendar on the wall was too easy, so everyone gets to decide when to start and end their business year. Here at Bethlehem, our forebearers decided on October 1st. More about that in a minute. Let's go back to the church calendar for a sec. 9 more Sundays, 9 more times that we will read from the Gospels and the letters of Paul, the Psalms, and the Hebrew Scriptures. 4 readings each Sunday. That's a lot. And as you know, I'm hardly ever able to talk about all of them in a sermon. But at least we get to hear the word of Scripture. At least we can take these words home and look them up in our own Bibles. You do that, don't you? Only today's words from Amos are troubling indeed. They say you're supposed to find good news in every Bible passage. But Amos is quite short on anything that offers hope and blessing. Even at the end, when Amos tells us that God will not forget us, it isn't the things we'd like God to remember to which Amos is referring. Strange that as we coast on out to the end of the year, only 9 more Sundays, strange that we don't hear of things in our life that are going better with God. I might need that glass of water. But is that really the point? Getting better. Are we in a clinical relationship with God where God gives us medicines and exercises to practice with the intent of us one day exiting our therapy, restored and renewed? Or are we, as we referred to a couple weeks ago, not on some sort of a relationship of being lost and being found? Is not our relationship with God one, as we heard last week, with the lost sheep, the lost coin, of being lost and being saved? God isn't our counselor. He's not there to make us better. God is our lifeline, like those men and women who fly in on a helicopter and come down on ropes to pluck us out of the rocky ledge. And until that time when we are placed in the care of a promised place of safety, we continue to be in danger from powers against which we cannot hope to prevail, and from ourselves. Often we think of our days and years as a progression of less to more, bad to good, or good to more good, insecurity to satisfaction. And so it's natural for us to look back on the year and expect to be in a better place than when we started. More healthy, more happy, more money. If you read my weekly update that gets sent out each Thursday or so, or if you've been keeping track in the Star newsletter each month, you know that here at Bethlehem we're ending this financial year in a really good place, better perhaps than we've ended previous years. And that's not to say that we're living high on the hog, even though we do have a significant nest egg in our savings account. The truth is, we're ending this year having spent just about the same amount of money that we gathered in. Gathered in through offerings and a few other small sources. And in that, we can say in reference to Amos's concern that we have contributed greatly to those both in need locally and also around the world, to the tune of about $50,000. Usually I wouldn't refer to budgets and spending and money in a sermon, but with Summer Giving Sunday and all, it really is good to check in with these things once in a while. The truth is, money really is one of the most valuable tools that God gives us for this work of ministry to which we're called. So it is good to know that overall we've been faithful to the task of making our offerings, planning how and where to spend, and trusting that God will provide. The parable in the gospel story today is about money too. It's a strange little story that Jesus tells, isn't it? One that doesn't seem to have a good guy, but only players in a system of high finance that uses and abuses everyone it touches. Now, some parables can be allegorized. That is, one character can represent God, another character one of us, maybe even a stranger or a good guy or a bad guy. In the prodigal son, we often think of the father as God, and one of us as one of the sons, either the one who ran off and did bad things or the one who dutifully stayed at home with his father. This parable, however, sometimes called the parable of the dishonest manager, is better understood as a story with a moral, a story that teaches a lesson or makes a point. And like any good story, there may probably be several lessons or points to be made. But I think the one that Jesus is trying to make and the one that really hits home for us today is this. Especially when times get tough, when times get anxious, the resources we have around us must be used for their maximum potential. This scoundrel of a manager finds out that he's going to be fired for misappropriating funds, right? And so what does he do? He makes as many friends as he can of the clients that he's been managing on behalf of his boss. He's already a cheat. And so no wonder he takes one final stab at his boss's accounts. And for the sake of endearing himself to his clients, reduces their debts. And remember, Jesus isn't a fan of these kind of money-making schemes anyway. And so what does Jesus care if the rich boss makes more or less money? What Jesus is saying is that even dishonest people know how to take care of themselves and each other in a crisis situation. How much more should we be taking care of ourselves and each other when times are good? Or shall we just do like the people in Amos Day and look out for number one above all else? Jesus came to transform the world. Not to make it a little better, not to help everyone be a little nicer to each other. Jesus is flipping the world upside down and inside out. And in the process, things are going to get a little crazy. So let's get together with our neighbors and work out a deal to take care of each other. Let's talk about our resources, including money, and discover how we can use them wisely. Like I said before, I don't usually talk about church budget and financial plans in a sermon, but I want to take a moment and be real, extra real. We've done really well this year on offerings and spendings. Faithfulness to the work of God through this church is not the problem. When I give thanks for your generosity, it is with utmost sincerity. Thank God for you. And thank God for all that you do. But like I also said a few minutes ago, we are not called just to get by. Not just to make ends meet. If Jesus is turning this world upside down and inside out, we ought to be doing radically new things with these lives that he's given us. And so as we end this fiscal year here at Bethlehem, I'm calling on each and every one of us to make a commitment, not only to end this year with the abundance that God's love displays, but also a commitment to commit ourselves to the radical generosity that is needed to be a faith-living, grace-depending, hope-inspired people of God. I'm speaking now to those of you in this room and to everyone out there on the radio and those watching on our live stream video either today, this morning, or recorded later this week or whenever. And this is not an appeal to build this place into a mega church or some Pied Piper cult of personality. But I love the work that God is doing through us and among us. I love the worship that we celebrate and the fellowship that we enjoy, the projects we do like quilting and knitting and Habitat House building, the Bible studies and the youth events that we hold. And I love that we are able to support partners like Lutheran Campus Ministry and Abbey Shelter and the food bank, not to mention the work done around the world through our giving to ELCA mission support. But we have new opportunities to imagine also, a partnership with Eidsvold that could unite the Lutherans of the South Valley for the sake of thousands of new residents to our part of the world. A piece of land, that way, a piece of land sitting right next door to us that could house and feed poor and wealthy alike and generate dollars for missions that we have yet even to dream of. The transformation, the turning inside out that Jesus is talking about is happening all around us as the world turns, and we are called to meet with our neighbors and our clients and our friends and our family and make the deals that will invite us into our eternal homes. Not heaven, not yet. Rather, the house of this eternal mission of God to love one another, care for our neighbor, support all of the people and the whole creation around us. And that takes sacrificial giving. Perhaps giving like we've never done before. Giving that exceeds what we think we can spare or what we think we can afford. I hold in my hand an envelope. It's an envelope containing 10 $100 bills. It's money that folks have given me for funerals and weddings mostly over the last year. I keep it set aside for buying toys and fun things for me and my family, a new tool for my garage, a kayak or two for my wife and I to go enjoy on the lakes, a trip to Disney perhaps. But I'm giving this today, over and above our monthly giving. Jana and I have talked about this, and she's with me. for the sake of God's work here in the Flathead and beyond. And in addition, Jana and I have made a commitment to an extra $200 each month in giving for 2023. Even though inflation is rising and the stock market is falling, we're doing this because we believe in the power of God to bring a transformation here at Bethlehem and in the Flathead Valley. Now, everyone needs to consider their own call to give. Maybe it's an extra 1,000, maybe it's 100, maybe it's 10,000, maybe it's 10 or 1. When the dishonest manager went to each of the boss's clients, he didn't make the same deal with all of them. And God isn't making the same deal with each and every one of us. But God is working on us, transforming us, turning us inside out. Here at the end of this year in which we've been faithful to our giving and spending, and God is getting us ready for blessings and dreams and goodness and mercy in the year to come. The good news of God's grace is all around us, our church, our friends, our very lives. We have been blessed beyond anything we can imagine. Let us commit ourselves to honoring this blessing and to sharing it in equally unimaginable ways. May the grace of your love, O God, guide us all the length of our days.